The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hey, Brian, what happened to Tony?
He's got space dementia.
Four guys and a movie. Tony, Brian, Rob, and Joe reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello everyone, it's 4am once again, and that means it's time for the 4am podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I'm your host as always, Tony, joining me today is...
Brian?
Rob?
Joe!
Alright guys, heads up, the Earth's darkest day will be man's finest hour, because it's closer than you think. It's time to kick asteroid.
None of that's true.
No. We watched Armageddon from 1998, directed, of course, by our good buddy Michael Bay.
Welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah, we're going back to the Bay. Director of Bad Boys 1 and 2, The Rock, Pearl Harbor, and a slew of horrible Transformer movies I'd rather not even think about.
And the Ninja Turtles.
It just produced on those.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah,
my
if you're
bad.
Going that, Platinum Dunes and all their leather-faced garbage. Anyway.
He still had his dick in those turtles, that's for sure.
He sure did.
Aliens?
No, they're not aliens. They're mutants.
Oh, they are now?
Because that would be stupid, okay. Which is a line from the movie. Yes.
After he tried. Backlash.
He tried.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
After the horrible backlash. So, what is your personal history with this movie, Brian?
When it came out, I was all about this movie. Like, it was like astronauts and like explosions and like Liv Tyler and like Bruce Willis. I was in. I saw it in the theaters. I saw it at home.
Okay. Rob?
I'm pretty sure they played this like in high school, like when it was like close to summertime and the teachers had just given up. They were just like, here's this movie.
Is our school that bad? All right.
I don't think I watched all of it. Oof.
All right, Joe.
I remember leaving a movie theater confused and mad.
How you like, shit your pants?
No, just
he just hit puberty. Like this movie was so long, he went through puberty in its entirety.
I could have. Like I came out of it with hair in places that didn't have hair before, and my voice had cracked. No, but I remember walking back to the car with a group of people that absolutely loved this movie, and I was just so confused and angry because I was like, that was the worst directed thing I've ever seen.
So he went out and got himself new friends.
I did, yeah. That's why you know I hang out with you guys.
Which, you know. And today when he leaves here, he's going to start anew once again.
Yep. Just burn us all to the ground and start over.
Your replacements are waiting to beat your asses when you get outside.
We're going to get a burn notice printing out of my printer over there.
All right. Yeah, I know I saw this on video at some point, probably in my video store days, if not before that. And
I can only imagine trying to watch this on like the little Tommy K's TVs at the other end of the store. That.
Yeah.
Like, with just the shaky cam and the 1 second cuts and just everyone yelling. It must have been totally incomprehensible.
Yes. But I had that same effect when I watched it at home on my big screen TV, so it's all good. Yeah. All right. So that's our history with this movie. Brief history of this movie itself. First of all, props for them. They got a lot of shoots and everything on location, thanks to Disney's involvement.
On an asteroid?
In NASA. Like that whole thing in the pool, that's actually part of NASA training and stuff like that. They also, one of the rockets being fired off was an actual shuttle launch, which they surrounded it with a bunch of cameras, one of which was close enough that it got shook so much that the lens came apart screw by screw and it was sent back to them in pieces. So, you know, that's cool.
And Michael Bay was like, do this
all the time. Yeah. All right, but...
Was that because of the Space Camp movie? Was that Disney?
I don't know. I think it's just because Disney had a ton of money.
It's been a while, but I think I would rather have watched Space Camp.
I want to watch it again. You know, I want to see...
That little, like, beach ball robot?
Yeah, I want to see if that still, like, you know, holds up to my kid memories.
I'd rather watch Spaced Invaders.
But Bruce Willis was in this movie. He actually, his role almost went to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, man. Can you imagine the yelling in that, if he was on it?
Even more incomprehensible. I think I
would have liked that better, though.
Mm-hmm. But Bruce Willis was working on another film that was failing called Broadway Brawler. And so he was looking for a way to get out. Disney was like, we'll pay off all that if you sign up to do this and two other movies for us later, which, of course, is how we got him in The Sixth Sense and Unbreakable. But Bruce Willis also went on...
I like most of those movies.
Bruce Willis also went on to say that he really hated Michael Bay's directing and refused to work with him ever again. Liv Tyler turned this role down twice before they threw enough money at her where she agreed to do it. Most of the people on this said, like, this was a paycheck, either, you know, we're building another house.
Oh, and they acted like it.
Yeah, getting kids through college, whatever. Ben Affleck has since disowned this movie and, in fact, spent most of the commentary track on the DVD for this, making fun of how bad it is.
Ben Affleck's IMDb page, what, has two movies on it now?
Apparently. But it also went to the point where, I'm not sure if this was during the commentary track or not, but Ben Affleck did just say, so why didn't we just train astronauts to do drilling rather than train miners to be astronauts? To which Michael Bay responded with, shut up.
I've seen that clip.
Yeah.
Probably kicked him in the shin, too.
But,
shut up!
Yeah. NASA has since gone on. This is another recurring thing we have, similar with the core, where NASA shows this to new management and has them point out how many flaws are in it.
How?
So far...
How? Huh? Who has that much time? Or that many pages in a notebook?
Well, apparently, so far, the lead count is 168.
Nice.
So we'll see how Joe does on this. Probably the same.
I got my work cut out for me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, though. NASA's like, look, watch this movie. If you think any of this shit works, you're fine.
But Bay admits...
I see you clap. We're having you executed on site.
Yeah. I don't care how patriotic you think you are. But Bay has also admitted that this movie has a lot of problems.
None of them are his fault, though.
Yeah. Well, no, he apologized for the movie. He said that it was a major thing to try and take on, and they only had like 16 weeks to do it. So if he had to do it all over again, he would change the whole third act of this movie. I'm guessing to add more explosions.
Yeah, like, so what's his excuse for every single one of his other movies?
No, see, you're also reading it
wrong.
Also
for the first and the second act.
Well, yeah, that was my comment, but you're forgetting, I think what he means is that point where it slowed down for Bruce Willis to talk to Liv Tyler, he'd add something exploding.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, or did you just mean the third act wouldn't be a half hour long, and it would just be another hour and 45 minutes?
Either way, or a separate movie, who knows? But
spoiler alert, this movie sucks.
Yeah. Bay also admits that he was aware, even during filming, of all the terrible like errors that this movie has, but, quote,
it's
a movie and not many people will know. So basically...
He was more right than...
Our audience is stupid, so it's all good. So
I mean, he said that in many different ways since then.
He sure did.
He said that about Pearl Harbor. It's like, most of those people are dead.
Yeah, they don't go see my movies. Fuck them. So, anyone want to guess at how much money this movie cost to make?
$110 million.
I'm going to say $90 million.
I'm going to play the under and just drop a dollar.
No, just a dollar?
Just a dollar.
Okay. Then it goes to Brian. It was $140 million. Yeah. Anyone want to guess how much money this movie made?
So much.
What ton of money, didn't it?
How many dollar bills would it take to make a sphere the size of Texas?
I'm not sure, Joe.
That many.
I'm going to say $700 million.
I'm going to go under with $300 million.
I'm gonna shoot between the two of them at $500.
That was a good call. It's $554 million.
All right.
$554 million. Dollars, my God!
Look, like this movie. I wish me in, but like, I can see why it made that much money.
No, I can totally get it. I could, because like all the disaster movies up till that point look like garbage, sound like garbage.
Have a hell of a trailer though.
Yeah,
yeah. Say what you want about Michael Bay movies, but when we were watching this, I could have sworn this came out in like 2010. Like just
because his style hasn't progressed at all.
Well, no, it wasn't for that.
I mean, like, visually, like
visually, it looks good. Mm-hmm. Like
it looks like a 2010 movie.
The quality of the the quality of the picture is good.
Yes.
Everything that's happening is just
the quality of the things happening in the picture.
See, it's weird because, like, the quality of the picture, I'll give you, but the actual camera work is
no. But I'm saying specifically everything that's happening looks
like his lighting guy and his set piece designer. All those guys were on point.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like,
just, I'll even say most of the special effects not too bad for this time
because this came out when 98.
Yeah.
If you consider Godzilla came out this same year and just...
Ooh, gut check time, Rob. Which one? You got to watch one of them. Which one you doing? See, because Godzilla hurts you more on a personal level, but I think it's a better movie than
Godzilla, this. I'm still going with Godzilla because as much as I hate it...
Who's in that movie again?
Matthew McConaughey.
Hank Azaria.
The Simpsons is in it.
Yeah,
I gotta go with Godzilla. But it's close. Like,
that's a sad.
Also, to bring this back to last week, Eight Legged Freaks came out in 2002.
I'd watch Eight Legged Freaks every single day.
Oh, I would too.
Yeah. Before I'd watch either of these.
As far as effects go.
Oh, yeah, really, the only parts you could tell were obvious dumb CG were like the shuttle itself. Everything else looked pretty decent. So much so that he used those meteor strike images in Transformers.
He does that a lot.
In 2007.
He does that a lot.
Oh, he sure does, but I'm just
saying. But to go back to your point earlier, it looked the same as it did in 98.
Yeah. It did, yeah.
Yep.
Like, he knows how to use film. Yeah. He just doesn't know how to use it wisely.
I think we could tie some of this conversation into the actual discussion of the plot.
Well, which would be...
Let's start with who's in this movie, Joe. Yes,
we have to go through that first.
Joe's like, hurry the fuck up.
All right.
To talk about.
Yeah. So, you got, return to the podcast, Bruce Willis as Harry S. Stamper, Billy Bob Thornton as Dan Truman, Ben Affleck as A.J. Frost, Liv Tyler as Grace Stamper, Steve Buscemi as Rockhound, William Fichtner as Colonel William Sharp. He's also returning to this podcast. Everybody else is returning to the podcast from here on. Owen Wilson as Oscar Choice, Michael Clark Duncan as J. Otis Bear Kerlein, Peter Stormare as Lev Andropov, as the Russian stereotype.
As Ruski von Red Hat.
Yeah. And Keith David as General Kinsey.
General Goliath.
As Keith David. So...
Yeah, so quick shout out to Udo Kier and April O'Neil, who make appearances.
April O'Neil.
I forgot her real name. Whatever.
Judith Ho?
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that's a porn star. Anyway.
April O'Neil?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's spelled.
You know what I'm talking about.
It's spelled K-N-E-E-L.
So those seven actors who are returned to the podcast, you can watch their episodes on www.4ampodcast.podbean.com.
That is correct, Joe.
Did I get the URL right?
You did.
I
did it.
I mean, it's not hard.
It's you know,
that's what she said.
Yeah, we're going to soft doc.
Yeah, 4ampodcast.
Oh, soft docking in this movie, all right.
What are you talking about? This movie's nothing but yelling.
Soft docking.
Soft docking.
Well, yeah, let's soft doc with this movie, shall we?
All right. Whoa. So, before this movie has even started, before the file has finished loading, when the progress bar appears.
What do you mean file loading, Joe? You watched on a paid for DVD.
Yeah. You mean when the DVD loaded and you saw
the file on the DVD.
Okay. All right.
Loaded. All right. And I saw that this movie was over 2.5 hours long. I'm not even mad. I'm livid.
Yep.
And nothing's even on the screen yet. And this movie's already dead to me. Like, ladies and gentlemen at home, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be impartial on this one.
It doesn't get any better the minute they start talking either.
2.5 hours of this bullshit.
All right. So there's an asteroid, meteor, whatever.
Kills some dinosaurs.
Yeah. It comes down, kills some dinosaurs. That was only 6 miles long. Is that
correct? Yeah.
Yeah.
makes a sound similar to
scoopity poop. Poopity poop.
Yes, that's exactly the sound it made. And destroyed the world, much like that song.
Sounds and smells so, like Kanye.
Is that his new cologne?
Yeah.
Sounds and smells like Kanye.
That's Dragon Energy.
Is that a fucking thing?
No.
Oh, God. It will be soon, I'm sure. Anyway, we get things happening. I don't even fucking know. So,
there's a guy in space repairing an asteroid, and you get suspenseful scene of him installing an adapter or something. You know, like, what? Why am I? You know, because the music's already going like the crazy, like we got to disarm the bomb kind of music.
Yeah, and the dude and Billy Bob Thornton is going, look, we're not in a hurry. You have as much time as you need. Relax. Well, this guy's freaking out. He's like,
and the score, like the drums are going and all that. Yeah.
They're like, oh, he's about to have a heart attack. Mm-hmm. So presumably, like, the catch of this scene is that he has to finish his work before his heart explodes or something.
Well, yeah, he's stressed out and it's not good for any number of reasons.
No, the point of the scene is this. It's to tell the viewer, like, just relax, calm down. I know you're suspenseful so far, but just calm the fuck down. Nothing wrong can happen.
Because we're not going to calm down
in this movie. No, nothing wrong can happen. And then it's like, boom, she's blown up.
Yeah, I'm gonna look, like, yeah. It's just like, why don't you calm down? Everything get out of the ground.
Look out over there. Shot like 20 times by space debris. The whole fucking shuttle explodes.
We also
explodes.
I don't want to spend too much time on this, but we get a whole thing about this dude and his dog and a bike and hanging with Mr. Cooper, driving a taxi and whatever, and I don't give a shit, but they're all going to be dead soon anyway.
Oh, you get a taxi full of stereotypes.
Just fucking, why? Why do we need this?
Because Michael Bay doesn't know how people actually are. Mm-hmm. He just knows stereotypes he saw on TV.
Right, yeah, like his entire experience. Because then we cut to this dude who's like an amateur, like, what is the word I'm looking for?
Astronomer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's just this, like, retired military guy. His wife is in the background, and they are just screaming at each other.
You know the worst part of that scene?
Everything.
That it has no payoff.
Right. No, this has got nothing to do with anything.
I thought, because NASA sees the meteors coming towards Earth way before anyone else. And they say that out of all the telescopes powerful enough to see the ship, we have 8 of them, there are only 9. So I'm thinking this guy's going to be the one who has one chance to see it and like tells the world. Nothing.
No, there's no bail.
That scene is pointless.
He's in two scenes, and in both of them, he is screaming at his wife.
Yeah, there is a payoff. He gets to name the asteroid after his wife because she's a giant monster that will kill us all.
Yeah, she's a life-sucking bitch.
Yeah.
And then she flips him off, and then somebody slips on a banana peel and gets a pie in the face. And everybody in the audience is hooting and hollering and pissing themselves and jerking off.
So here's the question. Here's the question. What age did Michael Bay's parents get divorced?
I don't know.
I'm guessing fairly young.
You think they ever got married?
Yeah, I didn't.
I think.
I don't know the way this scene plays out. That sounds like. I think like,
Michael took his name after the pile of Cheddar Bay biscuits he was found in the Red Lobster dumpster. He took it like Jon Snow, like a bastard name out of the R.J.R. R.R. Martin.
We have fast forwarded through 10 minutes of the movie. In that 2 minute description, that's 10 minutes of the movie we've just passed through.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even more.
Might be like 20 minutes.
Nothing else matters.
One thing fucking matters is J.J. Abrams is involved in this damn thing, too. I saw that in the credits. I was like, fuck.
I saw that in the flares.
Yeah.
We all had to work, guys. We know how that goes.
Yeah. So our asteroids come down and just fuck up New York. And everything's blowing up. And it's like the explosion scene in Independence Day where the alien ships are like blowing up all these landmarks. Except there's no build up to that. So, like, Michael Bay was just like, just do that right in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Just blow it all up.
Yeah.
And much like Independence Day, we'll get introduced to a lot of little characters that will go nowhere and do nothing.
Yeah, and then show a bunch of kids just playing, so, you know, like, it doesn't really matter at all anyway. Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, everything's exploding at NASA. They're like, get the Hubble. And you get this like sweeping shot of the Hubble's flying by. Like it's some badass. I mean, it's a badass telescope. It is badass. Yeah. But it's like.
Wait on that James Webb though. That's going to be more badass when that's done.
Real talk, Tony. Yes. Is that this? Did he reuse that scene for one of the Transformers movies? Did he just turn that into Soundwave?
Probably. Okay. I'll be honest with you. Half the time, I have not taken enough Dramamine to follow this, or I go into seizures, so I can't say for sure.
That's fair.
Bottom line, it's just a simple thing of, like, what do we see through the Hubble? Needs to have a shot of the Hubble swooping out into the camera frame like it was John Wick diving out from behind cover with two guns shooting people.
Because as we discussed in the Transformers episode, mm-hmm. with the Pavlo helicopter,
yes,
the Hubble is basically a giant. It's yes. like Earth's dick.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to be front and center. Michael Bay wanted to show everyone how hard America's dick is.
Yeah, anytime you're showing American-made equipment... Mm-hmm. It needs to have fast cuts and be super exciting and have cool music mm-hmm. behind it, even if it's just a chunk of metal floating in space.
And it's like, you just blew up part of America. But sorry, America's hard right now.
Yeah.
They're excited because they're like, great, now we got to go fuck something up.
Yeah, you
like,
thought...
This movie just strokes America.
Like, right,
yeah.
You thought Florida was America's dick? No, the Hubble is America's dick. Florida is America teabagging Puerto Rico.
Everything is America's dick to Michael Bay.
And, of course, you get the obligatory shot of the Twin Towers on fire.
Right. Well, yeah. You know, you want that.
He didn't know. I was 1998. Mm. All right. So
I'll let that go.
A lot of stuff is happening, and you're like, this is all meant to be portrayed as very serious, but I couldn't tell you what's going on.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. A lot of people in NASA, they're like, all right, we need a plan. Plan they came up with is like, all right. Genius guy's like, we got to drill into the asteroid and put a nuke there. You can't just fire nukes at it. You got to drill into it. So we need to find someone who's good at drilling.
Genius guy? Don't you mean Lucius Malfoy?
Lucius Malfoy.
Is his name Lucius Malfoy? Is that his, like, what is his name for real?
That's his name in my heart, yes.
It's Lucius.
Lucius Malfoy. Which is not any less stupid, I'm aware.
Like, now I recognize that fucker. That was Lucius Malfoy. Yeah,
that was Lucius.
Lucius Malfoy Jackson was his full name.
Harry Potter struck my house elf. It's
pronounced Leviosa.
I've only seen one Potter movie. I think it was with Joe, actually. I've never seen any other movie.
All right, so we should
let's
not slow this down.
We need to do more further. Potter movies, I think, for the podcast.
Sure.
Change it to a Potter cast.
So yeah, we cut from all that.
Do it minute by minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We cut from all that to Bruce Willis hitting golf balls off of an oil rig at protesters.
Mm-hmm.
America.
Yep. And then he takes...
We know where Michael Bay stands on offshore drilling.
Yeah. And he takes a shotgun to go see Ben Affleck.
Well, he sees Ben Affleck first because AJ, who, just... decided to start drilling, even though the boss said not to. He's like, fuck it. I'll do what I want. We'll do it live.
He had a good feeling about this.
Yeah. So he ran in there, starts yelling at Ben Affleck, sees some undies lying around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ladies' undies. He's like, there's no ladies around here except for my daughter. Like,
wait a minute.
It was a bra, and it was a see-through bra.
Like, wait a minute.
Steve Buscemi, you wearing bras again?
That's disturbing. Sure enough, it's his daughter, and she goes on some whole rant about how she was raised on the oil rig, and Steve Buscemi taught her how to use a tampon.
Like, all right, so he's more mad not about like her fucking somebody. He's more mad about her fucking a guy like him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, someone who works for all they're called roughnecks. He's like, she's like, he's like,
even though
I'm not going to have you date a roughneck.
That is the only choice he has given her.
Right. That's all she's ever been around. That's all she knows. All the men in her life been roughnecks. So,
you know what? Let's go commit murder.
Yeah. He legit says that. Like, he legit goes up, I'm going to get my shotgun. Shoot the fuck out of you.
It's like, fuck it. I'm in international waters. Whatever.
And he starts shooting his shotgun around an oil rig.
Yep.
In the middle of the ocean. And then he wonders why, a little later on, when the rig, like, blows up. Shit ain't working right, because maybe you should have shot with the fucking...
I mean, in fairness, they did that shit around Deepwater Horizon, too.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
But, like, Also, he's upset that AJ here started doing this drilling when he knew that wasn't a safe place to drill or whatever. But rather than go and stop it, he yells at him for a while and then chases him around with a shotgun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, everything goes poorly. The whole thing just kind of explodes on everybody.
And Ben Affleck this entire time is yelling like incomprehensible whatevers.
Well, everyone in movies.
I would equate it to like a sedated Yosemite Sam kind of yell. Like you slow him down. I don't know. Like Ben Affleck says a lot of things in this movie, but I can only understand a handful of them.
That sentence will be used a lot.
Yeah.
Plus Ben Affleck's chin in this movie. I don't know if it's the lighting, if it's the stubble, but instead of being a butt chin, it's legit an asshole. It's like
it's a butt chin, but someone's doing a goatee.
It's been zoomed in on it.
A common problem in this movie, like, you know how Battlefield Earth had the issue with the Dutch angles?
Yeah.
Like, this movie has the issue with you're only ever shown a thing for 1 second, you're at a different cut. So your eyes can only be drawn to, like, the first thing they see, and then before they have time to even process what anything else is, you're looking at something else.
Michael Bay's signature film style is like the filmic equivalent of an 80s office Christmas party.
Yes.
It's just everybody's just sweaty and banging and on crack.
I'm pretty sure that's what's going on in the editing room.
Yeah, exactly.
When Michael
Bay's
making for these like, movies.
And they're all geared towards people with ADD.
I'm pretty sure like before Abrams came in, the whole script was just like crayon and it was mostly like scribbles of explosions and boobs.
It was written in cocaine, but he was snorting it when he first came in. He's like, whoa, we need that.
So Michael Bay movies are the report that had to be handed in that didn't have enough info in it. So he added all this extra shit to distract you from the fact there's no real content to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff is so distracting that it takes up twice as much length as the paper was supposed to be in with. So that 10-page paper is now 20 pages full of bullshit to distract you from what was in it. That's what his movies are.
I like how instead of having like two or three well-developed, well-rounded characters, we have like five characters with one character trait and that's it.
Yeah. Well, because they're all just extreme stereotypes of
they always are.
Kind of person.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did some people at home just hear my soul die?
Yeah. A lot of shit happens here. There's some Japanese people. They get covered in oil. The oil rig goes off. Because they struck oil, because AJ was right. And then, like, Bruce Willis fires him, and then the government shows up.
Well, Bruce Willis says, I knew I was right. And he's like, that wasn't the problem. The shit is broken, which is why I turned it off. it wasn't that there wasn't oil here. The shit was broken already. It was why I didn't want to use.
I left it on while I came to yell at you.
Yeah. But I want to try and keep this timeline as clear as we possibly can, because I could not follow this.
The movie makes no effort to do so.
So, we have this argument. AJ is fired, and the government shows up to take Bruce Willis away. He takes his daughter with him, and suddenly it's 3 months later or something? What?
I don't know.
So, the government talks to Bruce Willis and is like, yo, planet's gonna blow up. Because this thing's coming, we need you to drill. We need you to teach these guys how to drill. And Bruce Willis is like, why would I want to teach astronauts how to drill? Just teach me how to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
I'll get my guys.
So much easier.
I'll get my guys, and then we'll fly up there and America this fucking thing.
Yeah, astronauts are too stupid to understand how to use an oil driller. They don't know how to point down and press go. Like, how the hell... We need a bunch of retards and convicts.
Let me dig back into this.
Yeah, you should have. And I use that term.
Poorly. Poorly. Every time I use it.
This is the first time I've used it on this podcast. And I apologize. Nope.
In fairness, though, like when watching this movie, though, you are like, several of these people are below the Mendoza line.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Ben Affleck's character is definitely...
like Steve Buscemi's character.
Yeah. Which... Quick side note on that. I also read Steve Buscemi agreed to be in this because he was like, you know what? I'm really tired of getting typecast as a creepy weirdo. So I'm going to get this role as some like minor scientist guy. Like he's all smart and he's got awards and whatever. And then they were like, hey, we got Steve Buscemi. Let's creep him up by like 109%.
For real.
So yeah, all that stuff was added in later about mm-hmm. him like hitting on underage girls,
really?
Going to strip clubs. Yeah, like
let him be smart. Just let him be smart.
What did like Adam Sandler do a pass on the script?
Probably.
No, Michael Bay did a pass on the script.
They're the same person.
Pretty much. No.
Okay. All right.
No.
So they have not done. Different. Yeah, they have not done a movie together.
So, okay, think about this: replace jokes with explosions, bad jokes with explosions.
Add different bad jokes.
Different bad jokes.
And replace product placement with military.
Replace characters with stereotypes.
Horrible stereotypes.
Replace
horrible stereotypes with Rob Schneider.
Yep.
Doing horrible stereotypes.
Like, yeah. I'd rather watch a Sandler flick than watch this. Any of them. Not.
I would say, yeah, that's Sandler flicks, while they're terrible, they at least appear to be competently produced. Because
Wedding Singer is still my shit. So like
what's that?
Wedding Singer is still my shit.
Oh, Wedding early Singer Adam Sandler. Wedding we're Singer not is great. That.
Yeah, that's not.
I'll watch some Happy Gilmore.
Grown Ups, not so much.
I can't Jack tell you the exact date, but there is like before a certain year, any Adam Sandler movie you're all right with. After that,
I'm pretty sure Little Nicky was the cutoff.
You are correct.
It was Little Nicky for me.
Yeah. Like, was Little Nicky before?
Yeah, no, Big Daddy. Big Daddy came out and everybody was like, all right. And then Little Nicky came out and people were like, whoa. What the hell is going on right now? What is that voice?
Some people were still on board after Little Nicky.
Some people are still on board now.
But then what was the next one? Was that Zohan?
Possibly.
Doesn't matter.
I know there was somewhere in there.
Movie.
Yeah.
And Atta's boy. That's my boy. Ugh. Okay.
All right. So what are we even doing? Oh. So now Bruce Willis is like, okay, here's the deal. You got to get my people up there. We'll drill. So here's my crew. And I'm like, oh, God damn it. Owen Wilson's here.
Well, no. Okay. So they go and get his crew.
Mm-hmm.
And they all act like they have not seen each other in years.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably,
they were just on the oil rig.
Presumably,
together.
It's been like a day.
Not even.
Well, they're also spread across the like at least the United States, if not the globe.
What did they get inside little pods on the oil rig? Just fire off in the atmosphere.
It was like
the Dragon Ball. It's on zip lines.
No, they're like the Dragon Balls. Like they got their wish. They all got separated.
Wait, yeah, each time they strike oil, they shoot them off around the globe. You have to find them again.
And that's kind of what it is. Because like I also noticed none of them seem to have addresses. They're all just like, oh, I check New York strip clubs. You'll find Steve Buscemi and Michael Clark Duncan is doing the Easy Rider trek down the California coast or something.
Mr. Duncan, you have to come with us. Oh no, did Goku die again?
it's bullshit. All right.
So I don't know. They said in the beginning of the movie that they had 18 days before the asteroid struck.
Right.
So they couldn't have had too many days to separate.
No.
Even if it was that same day that they all left the oil rig, the day they struck oil, they were all like, all right, let's go home.
Yeah. Obviously, they still had like 16 days at that point.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, the crew's here.
Joe has like 10 pages of notes.
Yeah. They're all in, but they're like, all right, we have a bunch of demands that are going to make you not like us.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, all this crazy stuff. Want to bring back 8-track tapes, yada yada, and then none of us want to pay taxes ever.
I'll give them that one. Sure.
I mean, that's fair as fuck.
Oh. Or, I mean, if you save the world, I guess so, but like, whatever.
Or at least just kind of like be on, you know, some kind of plan. Like, you know, I'm not, yeah. I'm never going to be poor again, whatever, you know?
Anyway.
I've seen how you treat military people when they come back.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
I want no taxes. You're treating me better than that shit.
You're going to treat me like every
ex-president.
I saw
Rambo First Blood.
Yeah.
Part one, the beginning.
I want my sandwich.
Better get my potato wedges. All right. So they're doing training montages, and I didn't write specific things. I was just like, these people are awful, and I hate them.
Yep. They're wild animals, Christ.
They are wild animals.
And poor Udo Kier. Udo Kier.
A sentence you'll rarely ever hear.
Yeah, he's got a low standard. Udo Kier, you could be like, I got a movie about...
Oh, I'm in.
He's in. And you feel bad for Udo Kier here. You're like, oh, man, you got to be in this.
My God.
He's like, hurry up, I have to go do a movie about a killer wombat.
I have to be a vampire.
A half vampire, half wombat.
I have to go be a vampire. I also have some movies I need to shoot. But yeah, like my guess is they were like, we want you to play a scientist. He's like, I'm in. What kind of weird creature am I making? Like, you're actually just going to talk to some fat guy who's going to talk about the World Series. Mm. And Michael Clark Duncan's going to cry on your shoulder. Like, oh.
Whatchamacallit, there's like a part where they're getting sodomized.
Yep.
Because, you know, butt stuff's funny.
As a kid, I was in, like, the, like,
sure. The montage. The butt stuff?
Oh, yeah. In the montage, I'm like, this is funny as fuck, because, like, they're all just people being animals or whatever. I'm like, oh, this is funny. But like, I was a kid, I was dumb. I was,
now you're like, the fate of the world is in these people's
teenage hands. Brian, like, 17-year-old Brian had, like, hormones going on that he didn't know how to handle. He had farts going on that was too much for him to handle. Like, it was a lot. So he wanted to turn his brain off and not think about shit. And, like, this movie did it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why he wanted that extra 5-minute scene where someone's getting a probe shoved up their ass.
That's why he laughed at that scene.
Now, listen, Brian.
Just pad this movie out because it needs to be this, 2+
this
hours.
Room does not have a lot in common with Planet Fitness. But the one thing it does have is that it's a judgment-free zone.
Uh-huh.
You're allowed to like whatever you like.
I would say even if this was done slightly differently, we'd be laughing along with this stuff. This stuff could be right up our alley. Like, you know, if these were like funny people with a funny script, a scene about them getting, you know, stuff shoved up their butt, that could be a great time.
Margaret, also, if this was this one, if this was a comedy, this would be great.
Oh, this movie has no idea what it is.
Yeah, but in a movie that's already 2-something hours. Yeah. We don't need this.
Yep.
Michael Clark Duncan had like the only laughs out of me this entire movie.
Yeah.
Mm. I think Buscemi and Stormare, I think, each got one from me, but they might have been pity laughs.
Okay. Okay. And there are some other, there are some actual astronauts in this movie that totally get sidelined. Mm. There's one female who everybody has to specifically call out as being hot.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she's very attractive. And the thing is, like,
I am shocked no one hooked up with her by the end.
It's probably in a
deleted scene.
Probably, yeah. Probably every single one of them did. Mm. And then, like you could tell that Abrams had a part in it because, like, her name is Watts. And I think probably before he came in, her name was just, like, Tits or something. And he was like, all right, I gotta do something about this.
No, babe. Down,
babe. Yeah. She down needs that. Like, every line you have here for her is about sucking the dick. So I can just change
this. Also, why do you have all the other astronauts in, like, full, like, flight suits and she's in a crop top and, like, cut off shorts?
Crossless so panties. An errant piece of asteroid cannot rip her shirt off.
That's her armor, because I read in these books where, like, they have armor that, like, and it works, like, I don't know.
So, I would also say this probably was a lot funnier in 1998 when we didn't really know
how offensive it was.
Yeah, well, we didn't know better.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know.
Oh, sorry. So, like, we have all the snacks on the table and shit like that.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a box of peanut butter cream filled cookies in front of me, but I saw Tony reach over to what I thought was Joe's lap, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening? It was going in the bag of Doritos, but it was funny as fuck. I was like, what the?
Tony knows better than that.
I was like, what the fuck is going
he
on?
He was like,
I saved that for later.
He was like, Joe's getting really upset about this Michael Bay movie.
Joe,
I gotta take the edge off somehow.
Oh, yeah, he needed me to calm down.
Just do what Michael Bay does. Just go to a parade and get as many as you can of those little plastic American flags
mm-hmm.
and just jerk off into those and just leave them around your room all crinkly and crusty.
They're all up my butt while I'm jerking off.
Oh, okay.
With fireworks.
Fireworks, yep. Puts an M80 right up his butt.
In what I believe is slow motion.
That's fucking something else this guy does. Every fucking scene has like all these like slow motion like not of the scene itself, but like of background shit. And you're like, what the fuck?
Brian, you summed it up after I arrived here while you guys were watching it, where about 10 times I think you asked the movie why you have to be so extra.
So extra. This is so extra.
That's it. That's it right there.
The movie is just constantly screaming. Just like, even when people aren't talking, like the movie is screaming.
Mm-hmm. So we've kind of fast forwarded through this, but this is literally like 45 minutes of the movie is them just training.
Oh, yeah, it's just dicking around. And
like
Of course, we get that obligatory shot, which me and Rob both just groaned and rolled our eyes at, where for no reason, Bruce Willis is standing in front of a huge American flag just to really get the point in.
America.
Well, yeah.
That's reason enough.
That's the reason.
The thing is, this movie is 2.5 hours long.
That's got to be a poster in some redneck's room. It's just a big American flag. It just says, America. That's reason enough.
Oh, yeah, I had no doubt.
I'm guessing that's hung up on the wall right next to Nuke the Whales, because we got to nuke something.
Well, you can probably get it at Walmart Garden Center right now. But, like, this movie is 2.5 hours long, and it's an hour and a half before we actually do anything asteroid related.
It's an hour before we launch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob, can we make sure it's the same America is reason enough?
That might be handled the wrong way.
You know, I'm still working on the Cat Piss Man shirts. Like, I've been kind of, you know, slow.
And I don't want to be involved in a hate crime.
That's a good call. I don't want that on us.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, turn on the news one day and see a Trump rally and everyone's wearing that.
Oh, my God.
FOIA BOXES!
Yeah. As cool as that part
would
be.
And then all the SJWs are coming at us on the other end, and it's going to be the worst.
Yeah, but like I said, watching
SJWs,
this...
Sojourney Weavers.
Yes. Sojourney Weavers, yes. So,
wait, but as
South,
I said...
South Jersey WAPs. Oh, I'll have another.
Thank you.
Dorito, sir.
You just wanted a Dorito. That's why you said that.
As I said, watching this, even in the core, we were in the fucking rocket by this point. We were off and going.
I mean...
But in all fairness, the core was... 40 minutes less than this movie?
The core was 2 hours and 15 minutes, I think.
Oh, okay. So
it was over 2 hours. 15
minutes less than this movie. Fuck.
Now, again, gut check time. Real talk, I think I'd watch the core again.
I'd watch this because, like...
I don't know.
See, for me, like the American stuff sometimes does it for me. Like NASA...
There was a lot less I love NASA, yelling like, in the core.
Oh yeah, there was. But like
it was awful to look at, but you could see what was being filmed.
There's NASA shit, and I'm like real NASA shit. And I'm like, I would watch this over.
See,
they're both shitty, but I mean,
I think I would rather make a cocktail out of every cleaning implement under my sink, and then just drink that and see what.
Oh, I'd rather shove my own head up my ass, but like I'm saying, if you have to go with one or the other,
yeah, I think the defining factor for me is like in a group with friends, I'd rather watch Armageddon. If I'm home alone, make it the core, because I'll fall asleep to that shit.
Yeah.
At least they're not screaming so much that I can't get some rest.
Fair enough. Okay, so what are we even doing now? Oh, so now this is the point where the characters get 10 hours to spend with their families, and you spend so much time not learning about them and just not liking their obnoxiousness that you don't give one fuck about what any of them are going to do.
The most exciting part I had was that one gay dude from The Punisher was married to April O'Neil, or had a kid with April O'Neil.
That wasn't the same guy, was it?
Yeah, and that's the dude from The Punisher?
Yeah.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's why I made that joke about him beating up Steve Buscemi and then making out with him.
You weren't enthralled by Ben Affleck putting an animal cracker in Liv Tyler's underwear?
Oh, look at this.
I was enthralled by that, but only because I thought they were going to start a game of Soggy Biscuit.
Jesus Christ.
But at least he doesn't swear, guys.
Yeah.
Two things with this. We skipped over it.
I just don't drop F-bombs.
What did we skip over?
So much worse. But just quick side note. We see Bruce Willis, the father of Liv Tyler, goes off to find her, where she's in like one of those engine
tubes. Oh, that's right. Make it out with Ben Affleck.
Yeah, they're about to get busy.
Yep.
And he's just like, I'm going to stop here and watch for a bit.
Could you say that again?
What was that?
Could you cock your head when you say it? Like this?
What is that?
I forgot about this awkward ass proposal. Thank you, Tony. Because he's like, he's just making out with her scapula. Like, she's, you know, he's like, I kissed your shoulder blade like 10 times. Marry me.
Yeah, he's just like, will you marry me?
But not just that, she's about to drop her top, and Bruce Willis is just like, I'm going to stand here and watch for a moment.
I mean,
that's not how it was.
I think
was
it's like, supposed to be he's at an angle where he can't see.
Like,
I think he sees him in there. Yeah, like, I think it's he's supposed to see that like they're actually being romantic to one another, and he's like, all right,
that
maybe
was not
I.
romance going
well,
on.
No, that was what sparked him to get 10 hours of wait time. He's like, because he was going to be mad. He's like, we're about to go die, and this guy is wants to spend time with my daughter. Like, he's like, that's the right thing to do. And he's like,
he actually loves him. Let me get
like 10 hours off so people can like can realize what the fuck we're about to die for.
No, he loves AJ. He is just incapable of expressing his emotions towards another man.
Yeah, this is what Michael Bay thinks romance and love are.
Yeah. Naming he's like platonic shotguns. Love between a parental figure and somebody he sees as like his son, this is how, you know, that love, the shape that love has to take, according to Michael Bay.
Yeah. Like, watch this.
Like, shotgun blast.
Watch this. Brian?
No.
Tony? Joe? I love you guys.
I love you too, Rob.
I mean it.
I love you too, Rob.
Yeah, that's what I...
That's all it takes. That's it.
Yeah.
Notice how Tony is silent.
we talked about this during the Pitch Black episode.
Very true.
I don't have to receive it back. That's the thing. I'm comfortable in who I am.
But you also notice Tony's not firing a shotgun at Rob either.
Very true. Yeah. Yes.
Listen, just because I'm dead inside doesn't mean I don't care about you guys, all right? But anyway, but yeah, so we have the one father looking over at his daughter about to have sex. I can only imagine. And it's a little weird.
I don't know. I don't know if Ben Affleck knows what he's supposed to do.
That's entirely
we haven't seen any evidence.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Let's do it in a couple places.
Yeah,
I was seeing his animal cracker so far.
Well, that's the thing. We are now getting to the animal cracker scene where they're now playing her father's music over her as he...
No, let's be clear. Her real life father's music. Not Bruce Willis's music.
Fair.
Because that would kill the romantic.
No, it exists.
The picture would immediately be gone.
Is Bruno that someone?
Is a thing.
Is that someone farting fairness, through a harmonica?
In all fairness, that was put in afterwards. Wasn't playing during the scene.
I know, but it's equally creepy for me to think about. Like, I don't need that image in my head.
All
right.
All that was playing during that scene was like
Stupidy Boop.
Exactly. Michael Bay jerking off into an American flag.
They
stop with that.
You get the. He's not gonna.
I know. First of all, it's a fleshlight that's painted red, white, and blue. All right.
It probably says like your mom on the side of it or something.
No, I think it says no, it's property of the U.S. military.
Well, it says America. That's reason enough.
It's a spent motor casing.
Yeah,
it's a blow up
with a fleshlight.
It's a blow up doll of the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. Anyway, what the hell was I even gonna say now? You get the standard stock inconsistencies of, like, her dress is undone when she's on the ground, but he picks her up and suddenly everything's buttoned up again. That probably wasn't even Liv Tyler he was picking up. You know, standard shitty stuff like that.
But he's awkwardly dancing these fucking animal crackers up and down. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's dumb.
It's just dumb, yeah.
So...
So, shit hasn't exploded in a while, so, you know, take that, Asia.
So, what part of Asia was this? Because it looked like feudal Japan.
That was Asia.
Okay. Asia.
Yeah. He was just like, just blow up Asia. I think they do say it, but like, not till long after.
It looked like Ninjago City. Yeah. Is what
I would argue that script said, blow up the Orient.
It probably was
yeah. Well,
probably
yeah, before,
no,
before
it said Asia crossed out the Orient.
Well, actually, Abrams changed it to Orient. Originally, it said blow up the Orientals.
Doritos.
Yeah. It's too late. Yeah. I can't get it to my mouth fast enough. Somebody needs to be feeding me these things.
Brian, would you like to dance some Oreos on his stomach?
His mouth just shove one down his boxers. There you go.
This one, does it want to go north or does it want to go south?
God damn play some romantic music. It's a long road when you're doing it on your own.
God,
when you're doing it on my bone.
Yeah, the only people who get these 10 hours. Who get a scene during the 10 hours away?
I'll double stuff your Oreo.
Buscemi goes to see a bunch of strippers and stuff.
Buscemi takes the rest of the characters to a club.
Yeah, he goes to see a loan shark, takes $100,000 out.
Yeah,
and goes.
I think it was like $600,000. It was a lot. It was crazy. Money. Yeah.
Which I also like that. He's like, oh, I really want this time to go for everybody to be with their families, and seems to have forgotten that 90% of them don't have families.
Mm-hmm. Chip goes to see his ex. Is that a fart? Did you shit your pants?
No, that was the chair.
Okay, like I was like, yo!
Did you just shit my chair?
Yes.
He goes to see, I'm guessing, his ex-wife and his son, who he hasn't been allowed to see, apparently, and,
Who's that, mommy?
Yeah, like this part got me. I remember, like, as a kid, I was 17, but, because, like, she has a restraining order against him. He's like, I know, but, like, I got something big coming up. And in my mind, I'm like, he knows he's going to die.
Yeah.
He wants to be able to see the kid before he dies. I was like, oh.
It's like they all read the script or something.
Yeah. But fuck that. We got to blow up Asia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, now, it takes them like 15 minutes to get in the damn rocket. Like the two of them to get in the shuttles. Like, I think you actually could get people in the shuttles and launch the damn things in the amount of time this movie takes to get them.
Because we all need to stop for everybody to sing the same line of leaving on a jet plane over and over. Like, oh my God. God damn it.
I hated that back then. I know. I remember that.
I liked the intention, but the execution was horrendous. Yeah, but
without any spoilers, this movie is as long as Infinity War.
That's a bad benchmark.
Let that sink in, guys at this table.
Yeah.
Who have seen both.
Yeah.
And can compare the pacing of both films.
Yeah. But
like, it'd be one thing if they were all like, oh, we're all going to start singing the song. But they don't just start singing the song. They start singing the one line.
Yeah.
And I wanted to punch somebody in the face.
Well, that is a very good point, though, Rob. Because, like, Infinity War, it has a defined pacing and builds. And, like, before you know it, that movie, it felt like it was 90 minutes.
It felt like it was an hour long.
Yeah. But a lot of stuff happened.
I've seen that movie twice without having to get up and use the bathroom.
Yeah.
I can't usually get through a 20-minute cartoon without having to use the bathroom.
Like, this movie knocks you the fuck out of it every minute, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You're like, Jesus, how much more of this is there? Or like, get on the damn rocket. Like, the pacing is atrocious.
Infinity War is, say there's a treadmill, and it's going already. And you drop it on it, you're like, oh, okay, we're going. All right. And then slowly has some inclines on it once in a while. Still the same speed, but you know, once in a while it's a little harder, and you know, but you're going good. And then all of a sudden it's like kind of turns downhill, so you're running kind of fast now. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh shit, what's about to happen? What's going on?
Yeah.
And then when you're done, you're like, oh, I'm done. Yes.
I don't know. By the time you're done, you're like, I need a shower. I need to just cry.
Well,
in
the bathroom. Just before the end, somebody throws one of those Donkey Kong barrels at you and jump over.
And you're like, shit. But this movie's like,
You feel like you had an effective workout.
Yeah, you got something came out of this. This movie is like, you hop on the treadmill, it's going 100 miles an hour, you fall.
You just fly right off the back.
You get back on it again.
Yeah.
It's not moving at all.
Then it reverses direction and pulls you.
What the fuck happened? You
fall backwards, you hit your head so your head hurts really bad. Then you fall forward, like knock your front teeth, and you're just like,
But then you fall forward onto an elliptical that's on a roller coaster track that you are now powering by moving your feet up and down.
And then at some point you shit your pants and something explodes, and then the movie's over.
All the peanut butter boners are gone.
What, bother one?
No, all it's right, okay. So, it's okay.
I will say, I can't remember what the actual scene was about.
Thank you.
But I did like that Gracie and Bruce Willis. I forget his character's name.
Yeah.
Like, Liv Tyler and Bruce Willis are talking on the memorial for the Apollo 11 astronauts. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool.
Me too.
I would have found it cool, except I've seen other Michael Bay movies where he does that kind of forced.
Oh, it's a cheap.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's handled with all the grace of when Bruce Willis is talking about like whatever they want and there's just a giant American flag behind him. Or when we randomly cut to whatever memorial that was. There's another point where I think when they're in space later on, we cut to it's the one where they're planting the flag or something?
Iwo Jima.
Yeah, Iwo Jima. Or in Transformers Dark of the Moon, where Optimus Prime is just sucking Buzz Aldrin's dick.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right.
Yeah.
And So the music in the first part of this movie is mostly just kind of like rock tunes. What passed as like awesome tunes in 1998 going in, like, you know, in some score. But in general, the music was working. Second half of the movie. Holy crap, this score. It's the emotional swell, like the top part of that for the rest of the movie. It's just sustained the whole movie.
Yeah.
Because from here on out, it's all just like action shit. Just everything is going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that could possibly go wrong goes wrong.
The launch goes right. It just takes goddamn forever.
At this point, like, we're like, it's finally in space. Hour and change left.
President has to give a speech.
Yep.
Makes me wish I was watching Independence Day.
The speech in Independence Day is better.
Sure.
But not only that, but
in a heartbeat. And I hate Independence Day, but I would watch Independence Day over this movie.
Your taster's choice. But now we've gotten into space successfully, so now we need to spend a few minutes while we do a soft dock.
Yeah. The launch is admittedly pretty cool. I didn't have any problems with that. That was a good minute and a half of the film that I thought was actually cool to watch.
Again, yeah. I would find it cooler if we didn't spend so much time on all this other shit. It was just like, here's a bunch of jets going off.
Trying to find a positive.
Oh, okay.
That's as close as we're
sorry.
Yeah. It's a minute and nine. I mean, I'm sorry. It's an hour and 9 minutes. And we launched off and now we're in space. And we go into the Russian space station. And Michael Bay's like, oh yeah, you forgot. I like racial stereotypes.
He sure does.
Go, Peter Stormare.
Which, I swear to God, he has a conversation with Ben Affleck. Something about the pressure of this, the gas, fuel, whatever line. And all I got out of it was, yabba, rabba, rabba, Russian, rabba, rabba, Russian, Russian, blah, 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 Russian. Like, I honestly have no idea what he said other than saying Russian, like, two or three times.
That kind of was the point.
Yeah.
Okay,
for
I guess.
For the sake of moving this along.
Fuck.
I'm going to sum this whole thing up. They need to get fuel from the space station for reasons. They do. Something breaks. And they have to yell and run and get back on their vehicles, and then the entire fucking space station explodes.
Not to stop you and halt everything, but they had everything exploded because they didn't have any astronauts that knew what the hell was going on. Mm-hmm. So it was just Ben Affleck left there with no idea.
Well, in fairness to Ben Affleck, all he had to do was pull a lever, and the lever broke.
No,
he had to push a button.
Part of the shit that he could understand, which he made him not understand on purpose so that can happen. Like, I mean, they wrote that on purpose so this scene can exist.
Okay.
Which, it seems unnecessary as it is.
This whole part is unnecessary.
Most of this movie is unnecessary. Yeah. But he had to check gauge, got a certain high, press a combination of buttons, and then pull a lever. Affleck just put the lever, so he never hit any buttons to make the lever work. So that's what fucked up. So
all right. So when you're watching a movie where we're going on a mission in a ship to reverse some sort of weather event or, you know, restart the sun, stop an asteroid, whatever.
Fight a geostorm.
Yeah, I use Sunshine as the template for like a movie that does it right, and I wasn't a huge fan of Sunshine, especially how crazy it got off the rails at the end. But, like, Sunshine begins right now. They're in space, and they're flying towards the thing they got to do. And it works just fine. And it has, you know, it introduces its characters, it develops its characters, and, like, when those characters die, you feel for them. And it starts right now. And we've wasted an hour and 20 minutes of this movie, and I don't give a damn about any of these people.
I would say, like, For this movie in particular, to Rob's point about like not having astronauts, what would really happen would have been their crew would have been just for drilling.
Yep.
Well, what would really happen? They would have trained astronauts to do it, but like aside from that point,
no, I get it.
There would have been a crew for drilling, there'd be another crew for all the astronaut parts.
Yeah.
So like Bay was like, nah, let's have this crew for drilling do everything. No, that's not what would happen. There would have been someone to make sure the space station was safe and sound. The astronauts would have done all that shit would have been done by actual astronauts. Like, they probably would have stayed on the station while the ships went out there. probably they would have gone up and they got right back on.
And honestly, like, I'm pretty sure NASA has a team of people that would know how to drill an asteroid right now. Or at least have a general idea.
Better than these rednecks.
Yeah.
Or roughnecks or whatever they are.
I mean,
they're rough rednecks. All right. So, at the hour and 21 minute mark, everyone has made it out of the space station. It explodes. There's a Russian in the crew, and now we're going to the asteroid. There's a lot of shaky cam. We fly real fast, woo. And we're approaching the asteroid from the rear, because that was supposed to be where there would be the least amount of debris.
So I wrote down their plan.
Yeah.
Because I was laughing. They were hoping that as the asteroid passed the moon's pull would suck the tail debris off of the asteroid.
Would suck the asteroid off. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have to come at it from behind, because going towards it means you're...
Yeah, you'd...
You know, no, yeah, I get that. But they were hoping that this would happen, and it obviously didn't.
Yeah.
So they run into basically an asteroid field.
So, one of the shuttles takes a hit. I couldn't tell you till after this scene was over which one actually took the hit.
Nope. Yeah.
Because no clue. You're only seeing things for half a second, so you're like, I think that's the one with Affleck on it, but I'm not 100% sure. And the shuttle crashes and gets wrecked, and all right, that's the one with Affleck, so you think all those people are dead. But him, the Russian, and what's the guy's name? Michael Clark Duncan, they all got in the cargo bay, so they're okay, but the crew of the shuttle's just fucked. They're dead.
Yeah.
And I think at this point, Owen Wilson's going too?
Yeah, Owen Wilson's dead. No big loss.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Ka-chow!
Yeah.
Wow. So, of course, this is when we utilize the giant machine gun that's on the front of this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
To bust our way out.
This is when suddenly you're like, why is there a giant machine gun on the front of it? And I believe Rob's answer was, so it would have a dick.
Yeah, like everything Michael Bay makes needs a dick on it. And so he's got these
and the big drill wasn't enough.
Yeah, they're like big caterpillars with drills on them, basically. And they have like, what is he, like the equivalent of like an A-10 Warthog.
Well, it's a smaller gun than that, but it's like a fighter plane's machine gun.
Yeah.
Like, it's a substantial gun.
And I would argue, I know it wasn't for this, but that it was up there to shoot stuff out of the air that might be coming down. Like, I think, like, because in that storm that catches a little bit later in the movie, like, they had that up there to fucking shot some of the bigger pieces or whatever. But fast forward, they won't fire with no oxygen anyway. So
it wouldn't matter. Also, that should be mounted on the top then.
Yeah, I was going to say that. But that's also where I was saying, my guess is somewhere in the script, Michael Bay was like, all right, we're going to put a giant gun on right in the front like a dick. And someone was like, why is that there? And he's like, because it's trapped in the ship and they need to shoot their way out. Fuck you, that's why. Yeah. Like,
Batman had it on his Batmobile.
It would only fire if there was enough oxygen in each bullet casing to get ignition. They wouldn't do that.
So.
Well, things wouldn't explode in space either, Brian.
True.
Here's the thing, Brian. They were actually the bullets from Roger Rabbit, so they each had their own little space helmet on.
Okay, all right.
So they could fire.
Well, yeah, while we're going at that, I do believe, I don't know if there shouldn't be any oxygen on there, right?
What?
On this asteroid?
I don't think so.
But when they crash, everything's burning?
Yeah.
What?
Whatever.
And the only real knock I'll give this movie's like set design and effects are these icicles that are everywhere on this comet look like the shitty ones in Batman and Robin that are like flopping around on the car doors and stuff when Freeze is using his freeze ray.
Yeah.
They don't look good.
No.
Other than that, though, the set looks pretty cool. All right, so what do we do?
So the other ship, the one ship is totally crashed with Ben Affleck and everything. Everybody thinks they're dead. The other ship crashes off where it was supposed to land, but they're okay.
Like 20 miles off where it's supposed to land. Yeah.
And they're starting to drill through iron rather than drive to a different spot. Whatever. Yeah, maybe it might take them a while to get that thing around. Either way, they immediately blow a tranny.
Of course. And,
as you do.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you.
And going north?
And the government just gives up. The government's just like, fuck it, detonate the nuke.
I was saying! Like, what the... Like, the reason is we have a 12-minute window before we can no longer do it because of reasons.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they already told you, if you detonate on the surface, it will not work, and you will doom the planet.
Well, somebody said that it would work, and I guess they want to believe them or something. But I would also argue, let's not forget, the government also is like, all right, here's our plan. 972 things have already gone wrong with this plan, so whatever. Just blow it up.
Yeah, and president. I don't.
Why Tony can't be president?
No, the president's just like, fuck it, blow it up. And they're like, here's all these reasons why not to. And he's like, no, just blow it up.
I'm the man that sent untrained drillers into space as astronauts.
And you can make the jokes there on your own. Like,
And then he rolled out the mission accomplished banner.
Yeah.
And put it against the new wall we built.
And then you get this like so now the nuclear warhead arms. Bruce Willis is yelling, William Fichtner's yelling, and you get this weird, like, crash zoom where the camera just flies right into William Fichtner's face while he's like, you are the worst astronauts in the history of NASA.
We're not astronauts.
Yeah, we're not astronauts.
Or, I'm sorry, you're the biggest mistake in the history of NASA.
That's a correct statement.
Yeah. And then...
other than maybe sending all those dogs up to die.
So Fichtner goes and he gets his pistol and, like... I don't know. Someone overrides.
I have other orders aside from this to protect.
Whatever. A bunch of BS happens. It ends with basically they shut down the somebody at NASA shuts down the detonator
for
a short amount of time, and then William Fichtner takes that time to look at the instrument panels. Bruce Willis hits him with a wrench, or like a giant pair of pliers or whatever that was.
Yeah,
and starts choking him with that. And then convinces him to disarm the nuke. And
now, he does. Also on this point, though, just because this kind of bugged me, but he's like, he's trying to convince him why they should shut down this nuke. And he's like, would you bet your daughter's life on it? Like, that's almost exactly what we're doing here. Like, if this does not work, she dies. So, yes, that is what I'm doing.
Appreciate it.
All
right. All right.
So... here's where Steve Buscemi gets space dementia.
Well, yeah. So
slowly he's been going crazy. Like, I guess. And you're not sure because he's as crazy as it is.
Well, his going crazy is quite abrupt all of a sudden. Because now this is when Ben Affleck and his team, they get their armadillo to jump a canyon. A bunch of bullshit happens with that. They land it. They're on their way here. And then suddenly, like, Buscemi, who was, like, the calm one, who was the expert... and, like, telling them all the shit they got to do when they first arrived on the asteroid.
But also a known pedophile.
Well, yeah.
But, sort of. Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
He didn't know at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he keeps saying he never checked an age. So we don't know what happened.
Sure.
You know, but
probable pedophile.
I will argue this, too, though. Like, yeah.
He was selling Girl Scout cookies at his door.
He, quote-unquote, slowly goes crazy because we see him having, in theory, erratically more erratic behavior. Like, he's, they're talking on this asteroid, and, like, he's just laughing at dumb stuff, and then he's, like, riding the nuke, like he's...
Well, that's it. Suddenly he's riding the nuke, Dr. Strangelove.
But again, like, this would have been... a sign that he's going crazy, except back at home, he was like taking out a bunch of money and buying a bunch of strippers and all this kind of crazy shit. So it's like, this is not out of character.
And everybody's just yelling about everything. So how do you know?
Yeah.
Like, what's crazy?
Now he just like, I got the controls for the gun on this armadillo. Just
start firing. Shooting spree. Yeah.
We should point out that one problem we haven't mentioned was that they missed the landing spot.
Yeah.
I mentioned that.
But they're so far away from it now that they're on a plate of iron. So drilling through iron is way harder than what they were going to drill through before. So it takes way longer, which is why there's been an issue with timing as far as, like, get the shit done.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I kind of forgot what I was going to say.
So basically, Steve Buscemi just fires the minigun a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I can't... because of the way this is all shot, I was not sure if he was supposed to be doing this or not. Like, he starts firing the gun, and for a couple minutes there, it's just like, what's the big deal? He's firing the gun. Until I realize he is hitting, like, all their equipment.
Yep. So then, at this point also, because not enough stuff is going on, the drill hits a pocket of methane, and, like, Bruce Willis is like, shut it down! And I forget the actor's name that's in there. Or the character's name. I don't know.
Yeah, I forgot as well.
Porkins.
This movie's Porkins.
Well, it's Max.
He flails about. He's hitting buttons or whatever, but he can't save himself. And there's a big explosion.
Why? What the hell is going... because
you would think there would be a very, prominent lever that you would pull that would just kill the drill.
Or something, yeah. But yeah, Bruce Willis is like, put your helmet on. He's just like, oh, I'm cooking in here, guys. He's like, well, get out of the thing. And he's like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Like,
oh, he meant,
fucking go, move.
He meant he couldn't do anything because he was actually cooking hot dogs he on had a tray George Foreman grill.
Oh, okay.
And he wasn't gonna stop until those were finished.
No, if he opened the compartment, those hot dogs were fucked.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah.
So he got blown into space with his hot dogs.
Yeah, but he died happy.
Yeah. And now you never see what happens to him. So if there ever was an Armageddon 2, he'd be on like one of these asteroids or something.
With a beard.
With a beard, yeah.
He's just living on the moon in this armadillo.
He'd be played by Chris Christopherson.
Well, it'd be Armageddon 2 Double Impact, because both both pieces would have gone over and around the sun again and come back. Now two pieces are coming.
One asteroid will be played by Van Damme, and the other one will be Dennis Rodman,
voiced by Vin Diesel.
Did you say Double Penetration?
Oh, is that on the list?
Yeah. Oh, Double Impact's on the list. Don't you worry. All right, so at this point, the score, not only is it not, like, it's already used the inspirational music so much that you don't care anymore, but it's really bad right here. Like, something's wrong with the sound.
It's straight up off key.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. You're like, this is supposed to be sad, but this music is awful.
It's like the flute guy playing Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm. And then they're like, I know something just exploded, but it wasn't a big enough explosion. So fuck Paris. The whole city just explodes when a bigger piece of meteor hits it.
Yeah. It's Paris. It's gone. So, you know, Michael Bay decided that was the gayest country. So he's
gone. Because they surrender because they're a bunch of cowards. So they had to die.
Right. Like, meanwhile, back America. In the mission room, why Liv Tyler's allowed in there, I don't know. But she, like, slaps an armbar on Billy Bob and throws him to the ground and is like, why did you have my dad killed? It's like he's trying to save the world. Damn.
You realize this was like a suicide mission to begin with, right? Mm. We sent two of them up there knowing one of them wasn't a
combat. No, she doesn't realize that. She grew up on an oil rig. She's had no education whatsoever. As far as we know, she doesn't know how to read.
She was educated by Steve Buscemi. Wait, thank you very much.
And Michael Clark Duncan.
She was like fluent in was it Japanese? She was speaking
Japanese.
Like, she was just speaking nonsense to them. And they were humoring her.
She also knows Elvish, right, Brian?
when Bruce Willis was chasing Ben Affleck with his shotgun, she was like, if you want him, come and claim him. Sent a bunch of water horses after him.
Oil horses, you mean?
Yeah.
Alright. So so somewhere around here, Ben Affleck fires this armadillo out into towards space, towards their direction or whatever. He's on the move.
That's why he gets there.
Yeah, he gets there, which is just perfect because we needed another armadillo to keep our drilling. He starts doing some drilling. We have more problems. Is it the methane again or explosive pocket? So
they have to touch back on in the training, he was doing something and all the gauges were saying it's too much pressure. And he's like, no, your machine's better than this. It's going to work. And so he'll show now that he knew what he was talking about then. So the scene is now or now same shit as in training. Oh, it's too much pressure. He's like, no, you build a better machine than this. It's going to work. And sure enough, it works.
Yeah, if you're ever going to trust me now.
Yeah, it was that unnecessary bullshit.
And now there's a meteor shower on the asteroid. Well,
they mentioned in the briefing that there would be rock formations they had never seen before. There'd be eruptions, something like that. So right now an eruption happens.
Okay.
Because you can't say it in a movie without happening.
Right.
So we get eruptions and sensual eruptions.
It legit looks like there's a meteor shower on the asteroid.
Yes.
Yes.
Which I'm trying to figure out in my brain how that works.
So don't think too hard. You're not supposed to think. Don't think.
Normally I can do that during movies and we all know that. But
the treadmill metaphor because you can't get used to anything.
Yeah, that's the thing. You spend all this time screaming and just yelling in my face. you use up all of your good graces immediately. And then, like, I have to activate brain function, or else I'll just die. Like, I'll turn your brain off,
you have to chill, and this movie will not let
you. No, because it keeps kicking me in the balls.
Yeah. So, did Ben Affleck show up again? Okay. So
now we got a hole in the ground. We need to put a nuke in it, but there's some other issue. Somebody has to climb down there, and rope's breaking.
A pipe bent, and that's when the meteor shower on the meteor starts.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't just have something go right goes right in this movie.
But for half a second, we can't calm the fuck down for half a second.
Everything has a wrong and a right moment. Everything is done twice.
But it's important to point out the dialogue of this scene, because Ben Affleck, I think, says, "I think it's mad at us."
No, Bruce Willis says it.
Okay. And then the dude from The Punisher says, "It knows we're here to kill it."
Yeah. And throughout the scenes, it's making noises like a monster.
Yeah, we're not able to confirm if this is Frank Welker or not, but this asteroid is growling like an angry kitten.
It could just be Michael Bay releasing into an American flag.
So at this point, you're like, okay, they drilled the hole, they got the pipe out, someone just died. I think that was the bomb technician guy. I don't know. We're like, all right, so we're done. We just got to put the bomb in there and we can go home. And okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nope. Remote detonator doesn't work. Someone's got to stay behind.
Of course not.
Yeah. Yep. All right, fine. Whatever. Hurry the fuck up. They draw straws. They're like, all right, it's Ben Affleck.
Yeah, and I don't see where this is going.
Yep.
But, he gets the short straw. He's got to go remote detonate, stay behind with the bomb, blow up and die, and sacrifice himself, yada, yada. But Bruce Willis is like, I'll take him down there, and just, like, knocks him out and pushes him back in the tube and, like, I got this.
He doesn't just knock him out. Like, he rips his oxygen hose away.
It's like, I've seen the future, kid. You're going to be Batman. I'm going to open a chain of really crappy restaurants. What's happening?
There's a bug flying.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Pretty good sized one.
There's one of the house centipedes in the wall over there.
It knows we're here to kill it.
What in the actual hell is happening right now? All right. We're pausing the podcast because Starship Troopers just broke out in my apartment. All right. Well, welcome back.
Last time on the 4AM podcast,
we just killed the shit out of some animals. Hope you're okay with that.
Were we a citizen?
Intense battle. All right, so
Rob is now a citizen.
It was like Starship Troopers up here. Really, that's correct. All right, so what's this? This is when Bruce Willis takes the detonator. He tells Ben Affleck to get the fuck out of here and go marry his daughter. Has emotional, in quotation marks, interaction with Liv Tyler, who looks dead inside during this whole conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
She doesn't really have any other...
All right. Ow. And so they're going to take off.
Wow.
And of course the fucking shuttle doesn't work.
Like, nothing can just work. Like, they put you through so much shit in this movie. Yeah.
But like, none of it, and by none this of point, it lands.
Yeah, by this point, you just yell an audible fuck word at the TV because you're just like, nothing works. Like, can we just go home?
We are leaving Bruce Willis behind to sacrifice himself to blow this thing up. We just had a long emotional speech in quotations. And like, we can't just fucking lift off and get this shit done. We got it now. And the shuttle doesn't work. And then when the shuttle works, like, he's got some other problem. And
it's not like we're seeing anything different in any of these scenes. It's always, they just yell. A joke that doesn't land happens, and then somebody just does some like bullheaded, like, I'm going to hit it with a wrench, or I'm just going to keep drilling through the ground.
That's right.
Whatever.
This scene was fucked up because take your competent astronaut pilot, the hot lady, and like she's like, I got this. I'm gonna go fix this, and then like so she's fixing it, trying to, and then here comes screaming Russian dude. He's like, in my country, we just break shit, and it works. And like,
this is how we fix things in Russia.
He literally throws her out of the way.
Yeah. And I'm just like, holy shit.
And just starts hitting this thing with a wrench until it works.
Well, he does say, please move or I have to be moving you.
No.
And then he just heaves her across the room.
Not okay.
Joe must have had a translator when he was watching this thing.
She looks at him like, fucker, I'm fixing this. Back the fuck up. That's it. I'm moving and he throws her away.
I believe he beats it so fire comes out the top and then that of course the engines work.
Well, like, yeah. There's no stakes here. Like, we know, like, we've already looked. You're not going to kill Ben Affleck. You're not going to kill the entire cast all at once.
Mm. How great would it be if they did?
Yeah. Like, I halfway imagine that after the scene where, like, when it works, like, he grabs and just kisses her, or like, she grabs him and just kisses him, or something like that. Like just to put add insult to injury, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, ugh.
Yeah, actually, since it's a Ben Affleck movie, I am a little surprised she didn't just go like, oh, such a man, and give him a big kiss.
So now, the shuttle's flying away, Bruce Willis is talking to his daughter, and, like, they have 3 minutes before they're passing the line of, the 0 hour or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So, of course,
yep.
They have to be at almost miss the window.
First off, he talks to Liv Tyler for more than 3 minutes. And then there's another meteor shower. He's bouncing all over the place. They're like, oh, I'm going to turn the shuttle around. They're like, don't turn the shuttle around. It's like, even if you turn the shuttle around, what the hell are you going to do? You're not landing where Bruce Willis is again. I don't know.
Yeah, nothing can just work. Like, nothing. The only thing that just works is the landing. They land back home safely.
Yeah, everything needs to be, like, some big traumatic event and come down to the last minute and just... And, oh, it's fucking annoying.
All right, so Bruce Willis hits the button and...
In super slow motion.
We get these weird, like... First, you think his life is flashing before his eyes, but then it's just a bunch of shots of Liv Tyler.
It is his life, Joe.
That is his life. Yeah, that's all he has.
But it's also her future. And on top of that, like, he also runs into a situation where, like, there's an explosion and he almost doesn't press the button in time.
Yeah, he's like down to almost the falls last down second. A crater of some kind and shit. Yeah. Like, so
this
stupid.
Movie will not let anything mentioned go. If they mention a deadline. Has to be a last second meeting of the deadline. They mentioned a disaster has to show up in the movie. Like,
and you know what the core did better? Uh-oh. The core told you like 5 or 6 things in the beginning.
Ooh, bad start.
And you're like, okay, that's what's going to go wrong. Remember? Cause it was like the compartments could break off. So there was a point where the compartments had to break. And like, they mentioned these scenarios that like, okay, well that's the thing that's going to go wrong there. That's the thing that's going to go wrong there. And you knew you were done. You're like, fine, good. Fuck, we're over. This movie, you're just like, Jesus Christ, what else is happening?
This movie, it mentions some in the beginning, the way Core does too.
Yeah.
And then it mentions more along the way, and then those also have to show up in there.
Although, to be fair, maybe they did kind of cover this, because I believe at one point Owen Wilson's like, what are we facing up there? And the guy goes, you know, blah, 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 whatever it is. And he's like, oh, so like a horrible nightmare where everything is terrible or something. And that is pretty much what it is. It's just everything goes wrong.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the guy asks the question, and the guy gives him an answer of, like, all these specific things. And he's like, you could have just said the worst terrain imaginable.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Because, you know, I have to be a sarcastic turd.
Yeah, of course.
So,
and dumb it down for the audience, because they're stupid.
So they land the shuttle on the airfield, and, like, everyone reunites. Woo.
Yeah.
Everyone. So, Liv Tyler and Ben Affleck, Steve Buscemi, one of the strippers.
Mm-hmm.
That chap guy and his son who didn't know who he was.
It's like, now we're a family.
Yeah.
I guess.
I know I had a restraining order on you, but
eh. That was one part. So when they first fail at the shit, like the big asteroid hits the planet, and everyone knows now. Everyone's like, oh, we're all gonna die, whatever. And there's this montage of like families looking up at the sky. And watching TV, you know, whatever. And it's like little kids like, hey, the stranger's on TV. Like,
it's not a stranger. That's your dad.
That's your dad.
That's your daddy.
Who's your daddy and what does he do?
Is that on the list?
I think so.
Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so you get like one more like Murica. You get like the F-15s flying over the airfield.
Yes.
And then Aerosmith plays us out while we see what appears to be a wedding and a funeral.
Yes.
Now. It's a wedding, and then...
That's four funerals and a wedding.
The Roughnecks raised her. It was the Roughnecks who died. Had pictures there.
They were there,
yeah. But just because of the timing and the way this is done, like, I legitimately thought they were having a funeral alongside the wedding.
Because
they just have these nice portraits of them all sitting up.
I mean... Like, it was.
Yeah.
They didn't have bodies to have caskets, so they just have pictures there.
But and they combo. Also, we see, like, you know, I think you said it was like we are transported back to the 50s where these kids are just playing in the streets with little space shuttles.
And their little Oshkosh Pagosh jumpers.
All in sepia tones. And we've already had some parade before the guys even landed.
You know what would have been awesome? After they blew the asteroid up and it split into two pieces and the two pieces went around the Earth and, you know, everyone was safe, there was just another asteroid behind it. They never saw coming.
Just the moon.
That'd be amazing. But yeah, that's it. That's Armageddon from 1998. All right. So on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a whopping score of 39%. Audience gave this a score of 73%.
Yeah, I figured that part.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's their thoughts and opinions. What about your thoughts and opinions / recommendations, Rob?
39% is pretty generous. I hated this movie. Like 20 minutes in and like my head was pounding. I just wanted it to end. I wanted it to stop. And it just never, ever seemed to actually end. I don't recommend this movie. That's all I got.
That's all you need.
It's just terrible.
America. It's not reason enough. Brian.
Walmart the motion picture.
Yeah, it's another example of young dumb Brian liking a dumbass movie for dumbass reasons. An adult Brian is like, nah, like this movie is way too long for what it gives you. It does way too much stuff. It looks like it's cool, has cool looking things because there's still NASA shit in there. It's still in space. Like it's still some cool looking things in it, but it's too much unnecessary stuff to warrant ever watching it again. Like I can't good. I mean, I'd rather, if you want to see space stuff blowing up, watch Apollo 13 or whatever. Let's go watch that. Like, it'll be a long movie too, but it'll be a better long movie.
It'll be way more exciting.
Yeah, it'll be a long movie.
You'll care about with some if the astronauts come back or not.
But yeah, no, this is no for Brian.
Joe?
So, I think this might have been one of the first times I think I ever felt betrayed in the cinema. I don't know, but I remember really wanting to like this movie, but I hated it. And I decided after I watched this movie last night to write down a list of 10 reasons why I hated it, just so I would make sure to cover all my points.
Oh my God, you honestly have a 10 things I hate about you?
Yeah, I have a 10 things I hate about you about this movie. Okay.
Sweet.
So 1 and 2 are pretty straightforward. The standard Michael Bay portrayal of toxic masculinity is a great thing, and you know, racism. The racism's only in the beginning, but, you know, you got to mention them. They're here. All right. Number 3, this movie is always set to 11. Mm-hmm. And when you always set your movie to 11 instead of going to 11, you know, when you need it, 11 stops being special. You know, at that point, it's just, why not have, you know, an amp where 10's a little louder? Like, so when we're constantly going full throttle, I don't care. And I stopped caring very quickly. Reason number 4, the goddamn score. See reason number 3.
That rhymed. Mm-hmm.
I did that on purpose. All right. Number 5, it's trademark Michael Bay, awful camera work. Nothing's on the screen for more than a second. Everything's shaking around. You know what happened, but you really sometimes can't explain how it happened. You're just like, okay, I guess that guy's dead now. I don't know, something, whatever. Something exploded. Sure. It's really hard to follow, and it's really annoying. Reason number 6, it is a 2.5-hour movie that should have been a 90-minute movie. It had no business even flirting around near the 2-hour mark, let alone being 2.5 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7, other than Steve Buscemi, there are no memorable characters, and I don't want to remember Steve Buscemi, but I just have to. Like, the characters in this are all awful. Number 8, the constant yelling. See reason number 3. Number 9, other than the occasional moment from Steve Buscemi and Peter Stormare, this movie is not funny at all. Like, at all. And finally, number 10, disaster movies suck to begin with. And this one is possibly the worst. I don't know if I want to know if I want to fully own that statement.
I'd hold off on that one for
well,
now.
Well, what's worse?
Deep Impact, maybe?
See,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's the 10 reasons why Joe hates this fucking movie.
Well, but seriously, though, because, like,
it's not going to be a new
I
segment?
Never saw Deep Impact, but, like Twister, like Volcano, they all have moments where the movie stops, pauses and reflects, and then continues progressing a plot and stuff in a way that was slightly different than before. They were all at least somewhat competently put together films.
When's the last time you've seen any of those?
Oh, no, no. They're terrible.
Okay. Right.
But I don't think they're anywhere near as painful to watch. Like, this is painful to watch.
Mm.
Like, and this is a hard one to, like, sit down and force yourself to make it through.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite go as far as saying the worst, because I did see Geostorm, and I saw some of 2012, so it's got some contenders, but...
In fairness, I've given up on the disaster one,
no, that's
I think,
fair.
After this, because we're done
here. Yeah, oh yeah, with good reason.
Yeah.
But, as far as me... Everything Joe said, I really don't like Michael Bay. I like, even the stuff he produces is usually not that good, but the stuff he directs is just unwatchable for me. Like, it's what I imagine having a seizure would be like. Like, I can't follow most of what's going on. I have to, like, play catch up in the few moments between explosions, and those are so few that it's hard for me to do. With this, constantly like, which guy just died? Was it this guy? Was it that guy? I can't tell because they all just have spacesuits with foggy windows or screens in front. It's just, it's a goddamn mess. It's a goddamn mess. From start to finish, just everything you could do wrong with a film, it does.
They could at least put, like, colors in a spacesuit, like Power Rangers, so you knew who was who.
Something. Fucking something. Mm-hmm. Although, to be fair, they color-coded the Transformers, and I still can't follow that shit either. So, yeah, not a recommend for me either. Lack of recommends all around.
To tie this to the real world, though, the thing that hurts the most with these, though, is these movies, they all make jillions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
And they're god-awful. And it makes me so mad. And, like, I get so worried for, like, the state of the world we live in that these movies make this much money.
This is the argument I keep making, because I think you brought this up before. This is the equivalent of that Idiocracy moment where they go to see a film of a guy's butthole.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, like, it'll fart occasionally or whatever. But
I get that. But there's got to be a point where you just got to live your own life. Otherwise, you're going to be wearing a tinfoil hat and bombs in your basement.
That's why I don't go to the movie theater to see any Michael Bay movies anymore.
No, like, nor should you.
Yeah, if I hear he's involved with a project, it's done. But at the same time, though, I can't not be concerned
that
these movies continue to this day to make a lot of money.
To make it a point, like, I won't contribute to that, but that's also like saying I won't vote for certain people who still might get elected into office. Mm-hmm. And it makes me sad to know that enough of the world will.
It's a little different.
Yes! But that's the best analogy I can think of at the moment.
Like, just remember, like, there's always been bullshit media put out there.
Yeah.
Stuff. People have always ingested bullshit. Mm-hmm. Because, honestly, a lot of people just don't want to think. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't, and they want to be think just enough for, like, you know, they, like, this movie got me as a kid because, like, literally, there was explosions, there was space shit, there was a fucking, like, Bruce Willis, it was fucking America shit. Like, it legit got me as a kid. Like, as of today, not so much. But, like in the 90s, in America, Iron Eagle comes out.
That was the 80s.
Oh, I mean, you know, but 80s, yeah. 80s, like, that shit, that was a time period where, like, that shit got me. Like, I was in, like, and so that shit happens. Like, it happens.
I get that. And I again, I'm not gonna, you know, if that's what you like, more power to you. But I can, you know, I've mentioned before, I saw Rampage, dumb as shit, but I enjoyed it because it was a mindless movie, but it was fun. Same thing with the new Pacific Rim movie. It was entertaining enough.
It was
real dumb. Oh, it was real dumb. Real dumb.
Oh, it's out?
But
sequel?
Yes. But, like, I could still at least be like, oh, I could see why someone might find some enjoyment in this. These, I don't get it. I honestly don't. And again, if you enjoy it, more power to you, but just makes me cry.
I think, though, just go back to what Brian said, is, like, 1998 Brian was a teenager, and it's obvious in these that he's targeting these towards a very young audience that just kind of does want some America and some explosions and, like...
Feeds into your testosterone.
Yeah. Exactly, you know, appeal to your id there, but, like, there's people that are in their 30s, there's people that tell, my dad likes some of these movies, and, you know, he's damn near 70, and it's like, it makes me scared that people didn't grow out of it, is I think where I'm getting with that.
Okay.
I mean, we all did, but a lot of people did not.
All right. But so that's not a recommend from all of us. So what would we recommend instead of this movie?
Anything else?
Apollo 13.
Yeah, I would say Apollo 13 would probably be the best one. I would say that movie Sunshine, but that one kind of falls off the rails towards the end.
Watch Starship Troopers.
I would watch Starship Troopers over this movie.
I mean, you want to watch a movie about an asteroid impact on the planet, everything. Land Before Time, is that?
There you go. Watch the Walking with Dinosaurs BBC show. Yeah.
Let's try and keep this to one recommendation.
Yeah, I think Apollo 13 is the like winner. Seven. We're just shooting other stuff out there.
Apollo 13 works. All right. What else do we have for the people today, Brian?
The funny thing, though, Apollo 13, you can listen to the actual audio of those astronauts when like everything was going wrong and they had to do all the stuff to save themselves. Because, you know, they recorded it all.
Right.
And they screamed a lot?
No one's yelling.
Nope. They just calmly talked through the whole ordeal. Yeah. It just went through their training and did what they had to do. And, like, the yelling that you see in the movie is all exaggerated for dramatic effect.
Oh, yeah. Of course. They also weren't oil rig drillers.
Yes.
Regardless, what do we got for the people next week, Brian?
So, we got a little special episode. We got a sponsored episode, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, this is from
William. It's William, yeah.
William, yeah. William sponsored episode. Thank you, William.
Yep.
What's the movie we're going to be watching, right?
Well, we also have an email from William, so I'm going to go ahead and read that to you guys. So, it says, Rob, Joe, Brian, and Tony. Love the title to the episode, which was referring to our last inbox episode, which was like William's episode or all about William or something. it says, Brian and Joe's voices I have figured out, but I keep mixing up Rob and Tony. Sorry.
Well, Rob sounds like
Matthew Broderick. Almost like they're brothers.
Tony sounds... Oh, sorry.
I sound like Matthew Broderick. Tony sounds like... Higher pitch. Strong Sarah Mad.
Disco Parker.
Wow. Oh, God.
Wow. Sorry.
Wow.
Shots fired.
And he goes on to say, I read The Dragon and the George in high school. I read the entire series. The author died before finishing it, and if I remember correctly, they took the notes and created one last book in the series that didn't wrap up the overall story. He congratulates Joe on his promotion.
Thank you.
Did we read this one already?
No.
Well, I read it to you guys in private.
What are you talking about? This is my first time.
Since it's pertinent to
thing.
I want my money out of sponsoring an episode. Well, sorry in advance. I'm tempted to go with Seven Samurai 1954. 3.5 hours of subtitled awesomeness, or Charge of the Light Brigade, 1936, that inspired animal safety laws for movies after they
long time.
Killed 25 horses, making the climactic scene, or maybe something really fun like The Swan Princess or Black Dynamite, or the movie that almost killed the mouse, Disney's Black Cauldron. I don't want to deal with Gurgi, thanks. Ugh. Bankins and Wankins.
I don't know any of those movies. I think I may have seen Black Cauldron, but I don't remember it.
That was one that Tim Burton actually worked on, I believe.
I can tell you about Spankins and Wankins.
And Munchings, Rob.
Was it?
Crunchings and Munchings.
Okay.
I know it's not Spankings and Wankings.
It is now.
It is for us, yes. But.
It is when I watch it. But in the end, I've decided to go with 1992's Ladybugs, starring Rodney Dangerfield.
That's a big difference.
That is a very big difference, Will.
It's one of my favorite childhood movies, and I had a massive crush on Vanessa Shaw after seeing it in the theater. The Everly Brothers said it all. All I have to do is dream. Also, I think this movie is especially interesting, given all the recent stories of men having sex change operations or preparing for operations and competing in women's sporting events. He lists some links that we're just not going to ever look at. I appreciate
the effort, though.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I chose ignorance very carefully.
Rob, ignorance chose you.
Ignorance did choose me. Well, and you know what? We've been great bedfellows. I'm good.
I see what he's getting at, but I'm sure this does not handle any of those subjects in any graceful way. But
I mean, long story short, thank you very much, William, for sponsoring an episode.
Yes, thank you.
And Ladybugs will be next week's episode.
I like that he apparently could not decide whether he likes us or hates us, so he decided he really, really hates us.
Is it really?
William, when that movie came out, when I saw it on TV, because I never saw the theaters, I enjoy the movie too, William. So you're not alone.
I've watched Ladybugs 100 times before I watch Armageddon again.
I've never seen Ladybugs, but I will go ahead and echo that.
That was the time when like Dangerfield. I'd watch the movies. He's a flashy old guy. For some reason, I thought it was funny.
I remember there's a part where he's staring at the back of a minivan that's filled with soccer balls, and he says, "I got a lot of balls," and it's funnier than anything in Armageddon.
Okay. Also, just before we go any further, I was kidding, William. Please don't take that personally. Anything
we
I
love
say.
You, William.
Maybe we'll back to school after this one. Maybe I don't know.
We're all getting laid.
I am a little disappointed if you're going in the Jonathan Brandis direction. You didn't pick Sidekicks.
It could have been Rover Dangerfield. No,
Chuck Norris one. I saw that one.
And Joe Piscopo.
Oh, man.
Why not?
All right. So next week we got Ladybugs for a very special sponsored episode. Thanks to William. Thank you again. What else we got for the people, Rob?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and yawn off.
Rob's past his bedtime.
It really is. Wow, it really is. So, guys, we want to thank you so very much for listening. We really do appreciate you guys tuning in to our nonsense every... Oh, okay. to our... So you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at 4AM Podcast. You can find our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com. You can find all of our old episodes there. We got a lot of really good stuff that we did way back in the day. We've done Predator already. Did you know that?
There's a new one coming up.
Yeah, new one coming up.
Hey, you know what? Bring it on. Bring it on. I stand by that Predators film.
I was okay with it. I only saw about half of it, but I was okay with it.
It's fine. Am I missing anything? The website? Oh, and you can email us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com.
Don't judge him, Tony. He's been through a lot.
Yeah. I'm still looking over my shoulder for bugs every second now.
All right. So thank you for joining us this week for Armageddon. Hope you all join us next week when we review Ladybugs. But until then,
deuces.
Later, guys.
Good night, everybody.